today who are atheistic or agnostic. I'm not saying they can't be converted, but I'm a whole lot more interested in the people that were once church members in a church that might be scriptural or is scriptural. And they did the same thing that most people do. Certainly I was guilty of it. I know very few people that weren't. Apparently Timothy was the sort of a young man that he was just loyal from the time he was saved. But Kenneth, you and I had several lapses. This is something that you can grasp going to heaven, because you've had all kind of teaching on security of the believer from so many different angles, and you see how they all match, that you can see that as a reality. But when it comes to leaving that body and going up to be in heaven, you can grasp the reality of it's going to happen. But so many people have a continual battle all their lives between the flesh, which in some cases is very strong, and the Spirit of God who lives in them and who they know so little about, that they've been taught so little that it never becomes a reality. But if you learn and keep on learning, as long as you've got your right mind, God doesn't hold you responsible after you lose your mind. You end up with a lot of, it's just hard to describe it. I'm sure you've been through it, or are going through it, or will go through it. And I'm sure it's a reality. But in the years I've been here, I have been blessed by the Spirit of God, who has taught me a lot through other people, directly from His Word, and the other people also took it from His Word, that, man, it's a part of my life. And it's not because I'm old and worn out. I'm tired. I'd like to go on and be with Imogene. But this thing is so wonderful, to know Him in the way that you get to know Him after you really study Him. I don't care how bad you feel. You just come on over here and do what you're supposed to do. And I'm trying to learn not to be grouchy or anything. And I appreciate your sympathy very much. But I'm past the party pity type thing. I stole that from Leonard. Pity party or something like that. That doesn't interest me anymore. What I'm concerned about is so many people, not just in this church, but in other Missionary Baptist churches, that are just losing interest and falling out, and they're trying to substitute all kind of stuff in there for it, and they're as blind as a bat spiritually. So I want to just talk to you part by part. And these are things that I was taught when I was in school, and these are things I've learned since I've been up here, and these are things I've learned from other preachers. Believer, soon you will be judged for how circumspectly you walked. We're going to talk about circumspectly pretty soon. And it's something that a lot of people, after they're first saved, like the parable of the sower, you've heard this many times. But this is something that makes it more alive. How many times have I seen people all excited in this church? I got saved! Or at camp, I got saved. And how many times have I seen that? And then after they got old enough, they just drifted away. Because there's a life to live out there. And believe me, if you think you had a wonderful life, I had a better one. I had God watching over me all that time. I had my grandparents teaching me. I had my mother teaching me. And I had friends that weren't totally corrupt. So I've had a great life. I thank God every day for it. But I want to talk about this because it's something that's important. Ephesians 5, 6, and 17. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And he's telling these people, hey, you got saved. Now, don't let somebody deceive you with vain words and start falling off the end of the row and go back to your old ways. He says, just don't do it. And he said, don't let no man deceive you with vain words. I'm wrong sometimes. I remember O'Reilly said he was wrong once. Well, I sure hope he makes it to heaven. He says, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. He says, be not ye then partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness. You know what it was like. But now are ye light in the world. He says, walk as children of light. Now, all of you sitting here, you know what it was like to walk in darkness. So did I. And now that you've walked in light for a while, ain't God wonderful? So it's a submission of the heart. And sometimes you think you understand your heart, but the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. And sometimes you think you've got it right, but soon you discover, Lord, I'm worse than I thought. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. Don't you enjoy your life a whole lot more than when you were running around and walking in darkness? I remember it well. Then he says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. He said, walk as children, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That doesn't mean you have to go up and knock upon the door and say, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Because God may have a plan that lasts past that door, and you may be dead once you say that at the door, and you're going to turn people off like mad. Been there and done that. He says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. All of us boys used to sit on the back row in the Antioch church. And once in a great while, we'd have a testimony service. You know what we call it? Testify service. Well, the old woman would get up, the women would get up and say, I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul. I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul. And then she'd start bragging and talking about the things she'd done. And then the next one would go longer and longer. They'd go all through the whole church just about. We'd be sitting back there and my grandmother and Papa Mike would be looking back at me. And they'd say, that would cut us off for a while, but I knew I was going to get a licking when I got home. And because Papa Mac knew all these people too. And the last one was always the same guy. And when he got started, Lordy mercy, he didn't sound like a Baptist at all. He sounded like he was on the cross himself. And we would sit back there and we would get tickled and we'd start laughing. We called it testify service. And when I got home, I'd get it. But it was worth it. But I didn't realize that when I grew up, I'd be the same way. I didn't realize. And I finally realized it. I liked to make fun of it. But after I got old enough, and it wasn't really until I came up here to this church, I guess about the fifth or sixth year, I realized, Lord have mercy, you're worse than all these people could ever hope to be. So it's something that you need. He says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That doesn't mean you have to go up to people and say, you are a child of the darkness. I know some people that have done that. And I've known some members of the church in the past that did that. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You see, we knew what all these people did in secret. We knew who was having affairs. Of course, that never came out. But we knew. We'd see them going into the wrong house over there. And I thought, yeah, they do live on the other street, you know. And so I'd wait sometimes if I had a spare time. I'd just wait to see when it came out. And I don't think they'd been having a prayer meeting in there. But all things which are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whosoever doth make manifest is light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now, this is addressed to church members. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. How many men and women have I seen make professions of faith in this church and follow the parable of the sower, get all excited and get me excited and get the church excited, and then when they discovered it was difficult, when they discovered at times it could be embarrassing, because they said they just went to sleep. It's called lethe lambano. They deliberately took a forgetfulness. I thank God that I came to this church and y'all didn't run me off. Because I had to study, because you could tell when I was teaching the same sermon over, and I kept a list of them. And when I went out to these other churches, I kept a list everywhere I went, because they had me back five or six times, and I sure didn't want to preach the same service there. They'd say, oh, Brother Michael Murray, that was so wonderful. And I felt like saying, well, you didn't say that last time. But I was not enough of a hypocrite to keep my mouth shut. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Every time I start to go to sleep, God wakes me up. And, you know, I think, well, you know, I don't have to go to all that trouble. But every time he wakes me up, and Christ shall give thee light. See that you walk circumspectly. Now, take a look over on the other side. We're immediately going to come back here. Because circumspectly is a very interesting word. Circumspectly. Akribos. It's an adverb. Going up to the summit, and because this requires great pains, care and diligence, it means accurate, exact. What it means is to keep on going. Doesn't matter, and I can show you this in Greek lexicons and everything, but I don't want to turn this into a Greek lecture. But it means you start off, some start off slow, and they go slow their whole life. But they don't stop. They just keep going. I have a strong suspicion Timothy was that way. And they make mistakes, they confess their sins, and they've been taught, let God pick you up, get back in there, and keep on going. Some just keep on going like greased lightning. I think Timothy was that type. Now, Hebrews 10, 21 through 25. And having a high priest, well, let's go back to the other one. Let's go back to the other page. I need to do that. He said, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You know, I won't call them fools. because I'm not that wise in judgment. But God indicates they're fools to do that. They're spiritual fools to do that. And when he makes that distinction, then I certainly don't argue with it. He says, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time. Well, how much time have you got right now? I'd be surprised if you had more than 5 years. But I may be surprised. But I guarantee you, you shouldn't have much more than that. And so I'm asking you, how do you feel about your track record not right now? How do you feel about it? I tell you how I feel about mine. I can submit to God a whole lot more and let him change more of my personality and the way I act, and to contain my pain and not let let people know I'm hurting. That's what I do. Lord, I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it. But I think I ought to just keep my mouth shut and say fine and lie to you and then have my fingers crossed and guess that God would say, that's okay now. But Leonard, I admire him. He doesn't complain. And I hope he gets out of here before he's 83. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Boy, if there ever was an evil time. Redeeming it means like you put it in the pawn shop and redeem it. Use what you got. Put it to use. Let it draw interest. Be more circumspectly in your walk with God. He says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Lordy mercy. You have no idea how long it took me to feel confident that I understood what the will of the Lord was in my life. And now that I know that much, I don't mind criticism. Because I don't like it, but I don't mind it. Because I think God uses other people to point things out to me. If I was the Lord, nobody would have to point anything out to me. But the more you realize your own weakness, then the weaker you feel. And the more you have to trust the understanding and the will of the Lord. I want the will of the Lord done in my life. I want to submit to him. I want it. God is listening to my words, and I'll be held accountable for what I said. Why am I doing it? I'm trying to let you know there's not much time. You may be in much better stead with God than I am. You may be in a lot more communicable type of relationship with him. Except for Kenneth. Leonard and I have already voted him as the worst. Now this next thing over here. No servant can serve two masters. And I taught you this a long time ago. And I taught you that this might not be the way this means. But I've looked in the Greek and I've studied it and I still believe what I taught you a long time ago. When this was taught to me as a child, I said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Are we talking about God accepting it? Or talking about God giving you a reward for it? You can do both of these at the same time. How do I know that? Well, he tells you what will happen when you try. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. I saved when I was seven. Not seven. I was saved when I was 12. I felt real good when I went to church. I got the Holy Spirit off my back. I mowed lawns, walked in a stock barn. I did all kinds of things. I hated to go to church. I loved being out there making money so I could buy me a new Savage semi-automatic. And I went to church. I put the right amount of money in a pot. I smiled at everybody. I lied to the preacher. He'd say, "Tomek, ain't it nice to be here? Ain't it wonderful?" And I'd say, "Oh, yes, brother." And I didn't even cross my fingers. I was lying like a dog. But I was still serving God. By the time I was saved, I was on a big guilt trip. And I said, "Man, something's going to have to change here, because every time I go down there, I'm serving God. But why am I so miserable?" Because of what he says next. "But the Pharisees, who were covetous and heard all these things, and they derided him." I mean, they just rode him down out on a pole. "And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify themselves before men." Well, I had gotten to where I went to church more, but I was actually really improving on this mammon stuff. So when I was walking different places, and it was at an umbrella, or I was just walking to different places, and it was dry, I would see a newspaper laying out in the yard, one of the local Gazette or Democrat. And whoever threw that up there ought to be shot. Because later on, I was a postman. And I had a pretty good arm back then. I played baseball. And I would take that thing and I would throw it right up where it landed on the steps, underneath the overhang. Now, that was great. But I would look around and hope, just hope, that somebody would see this nice young man who had thrown that up there for that poor old woman. Is that serving God? Or is that serving God from the flesh? Which is it? It's a question. When Jesus did something, he looked not on his own things, but on the things of others. Jesus would have probably walked up there and laid it on the porch himself, even if it was pouring down rain. Now, that's my opinion. I don't know that to be the truth, but that's my opinion. This church has come a long way. I hope I have too. And this is something that we ought to really think about. He says, and he said to them, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men." Look at me. "But God knoweth your hearts." When those disciples on the Emmaus Road, when their hearts exploded, they were just glad to see him. They were especially glad to see him, and it came from the heart. It was real. It was genuine. They couldn't wait to go and tell other people. "For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of the Lord." God wants to raise you. How many times have we taught that paideo? How many times have we thought we understood it? I don't care how many times we taught that. We thought we understood it. And you know, paideo, to raise as a child. You know, not just beating the child to death, but actually putting the diapers on a child if your wife was having problems, and feeding the child, caring for it, buying his clothes, having a house for it, doing all that stuff. That's paideo. And did we really do that in the right way? We know now, don't we? We understand. And we're supposed to give the credit to God for everything, including everything we know about the Bible that's correct. And so we thought we were doing pretty good, didn't we? Don't give me that.
I said go with these glasses.
Oh, I tell you what. Well, I have learned some things going with these glasses. I won't deny that. Well, I think that's what God put the law in here for, because the word law in the Old Testament just put the actual word, the word. It was the word of God. And he put it in there so that man would see how terribly sinful he was. And, a lot of the people in this church I admire, because I can tell that they think they're great sinners. You're lukewarm. I tell you what. This is something that is so important. He says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of the Lord. Galatians 3:23-26. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up into the faith which should afterward be revealed. Why didn't it just say we were kept under the word? Well, he wants to be very specific. But the law is the word. And it was in the Old Testament. And it still is. And it's not in exactly that format, but up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. We are not under the law. Absolutely. We are not under a schoolmaster. David realized in the Old Testament when he said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And I tell you what, I'm not going to hell, because God will not impute sin to me, neither would he do it to David. David said, he cannot come to me, but I can go to him, when he talked of his son. He says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Okay, so one day I had tremendous faith. All of a sudden, there that faith was. I had worked on it for years, and finally it reached maturity. No, that didn't happen that way. Galatians 2:20-21. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, and here I am still. But Christ liveth in me. Well, how in the world did he get in me? He entered me by his own power. I was led from the office of the Father to the office of the Son, to the Son personally himself, who is God and the Christ. He says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's the answer. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. If he didn't give me his faith, and I didn't have that to live by, if he wasn't in me, who loved me and gave himself for me, I'd be frustrating the grace of God. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Man, that's how precious it is. God died for us as the Son, in the office of the Son. God Almighty as the Son, he died for us. And his death was not in vain. Now soon you will be judged for how circumspectly you walked after he came to live in you. And he knows everything about you. He was there when you thought you got away with it and you didn't. You say, have you got any childhood sins people still don't know about? Well, that's for me to know, and God just said I didn't have to tell you. Okay. He says, and having a high priest over the household of God, Hebrews 10:21 through 25, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. How do you draw near? How do you stay in fellowship? With a true heart. What is a true heart? One that it has full assurance of faith. We've already had our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and we need to keep on sprinkling. Let it be sprinkled. Because we need to keep on letting God wash our feet whenever he feels like we need it. We just don't need to have it as an ordinance. You don't have to do it at home. When you know you've done something wrong, ask God to forgive you, and he'll forgive you. And our bodies washed with pure water. Now that's the sprinkling of the water by the word, but if you wanted to relate it to baptism, I won't argue with you, but that's what I think it is. Sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, because he is faithful that promised. Don't take advantage of him. God has feelings. God has feelings. You can grieve him. You can quench him. You can resist him. He has feelings. And I've learned that. Don't try to talk me out of it. But if you see where I'm wrong, why, tell me about it and I'll look at it some more. But it hurts me. It hurts me. It grieves me. Whenever I quench his spirit, resist his spirit, or resist his spirit, I know when it happens. I don't want that to ever stop. Because when it stops, I've gone too far. Let us consider one another to provoke. That word, absolutely, positively, without question, means stimulate. It means to stimulate. And let us consider one another to stimulate unto love and to good works. You don't do that with a chewing out. You don't do that with direct confrontations and letting them have it with both barrels. I didn't know any better when I came here. I was worried about provoking them. I thought we might get in a fight, but that was because I was a coward. Provoke unto love and to good works. It means to stimulate. That's what's supposed to happen. And people that respond to it are going to be in the bride. And they're going to use you as a tunnel with no power of its own. Just let him do it in you. Put them first. At times, let them have their way and go on. Because that's what I believe you're supposed to do. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This last part here, I will finish on time, is I'm going to preach on this particular phrase in here because I found it somewhere else. And it was interesting where I found it. I did research all this week on this thing. I was worn out last night. I had researched and researched on this because I wanted to be absolutely positive before I did it. And I'm still working on it. And I think I'm pretty close to knowing the truth about it. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you, and thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, this is from the church at Colossae, and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope, because of the hope, which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. Those Bereans were pretty special people, and I suspect they probably learned more than some of the other churches. Probably. Which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth. If you want to know the grace of God in truth, you may never learn it in this life. I haven't. But I'll tell you one thing I've learned. I have learned that by learning the names he has, and by knowing what the truth is, I sure feel a whole lot better about truth than I did before I learned it. He says, as ye also learned of Epaphras, my dear servant, who for you is a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. When somebody leaves this church door, I want desperately for them to leave seeing the love in this church. And I'm going to try to just not pay attention to anything that's distractive, cumbersome, whatever. And I'm just going to try to show a love as though I was in tremendous shape. He says, for we this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. You see how this spread? You see how the truth of God spreads? It spread out of this church. Don't get discouraged because not a whole lot of people are still coming on our church nights. It'll pick up. It'll pick up when we start again in September. Don't get discouraged. I think we're being tested. And those who are coming, they like it. Or they're lying like a pack of dogs. And I'd rather trust them. And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wow. 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 Now, do you see why we have these classes? Be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord in all things, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, every time you come down here, all the preachers in this church and other people in this church that aren't preachers, what people see in you, they know it's worthwhile. And they can see that God's working in you. And if they know anything at all about God, they'll know you're responding. strengthened with all might. What did he say? All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. According to his glorious power. He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Unto all patience. Unto all patience. Wow. And long suffering with joyfulness. Now I want you to think about this, please. Unto all hypomene and suffering with joyfulness. When people see that in you, when they come to visit in this church, and when other church members who don't come all that much, that's all right, sees that in you. You want to be in the bride? I can give it to you very simply. Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. I'm going to try to do that. I'm not going to try to be a super Christian. I'm just going to try to be more friendly, to look past whatever's bothering me, and get up every morning and ask God to help me do it, to respond to His Spirit. I think that's the way you get in the bride. You say, well, I think it takes less. Okay. Go ahead and gamble. I hope it does too, because I'm not up there doing exactly what I should be doing. But who knows? There's always hope for an old goat. Oh. Oh, Michael.